Our scripture reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. And if you're wanting to follow along in the same version I have, you didn't bring your Bible this morning, you can find the text on the back of the outline, which is inserted in your bulletins. Luke chapter 12, the verses 35 to 48, as we find it in the English Standard Version. And Luke 12 is speaking to us today a parable of our Savior, and we as a congregation have been working our way through some parables of Jesus here in the Gospel of Luke, and this morning's parable and the sermon is entitled Ready and Waiting. Let's now turn to the Word of God as we hear it read to us, the very words of God. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's Word. Luke 12, verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given of him, much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Thus the reading of God's Word this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Keep in mind there is an outline, or I'm sorry, chapter 12. Keep in mind there is an outline in this morning's bulletin, which will aid you as you follow along to the message. Congregation of our Lord Jesus, have you ever thought to yourself, what would I do if I knew that the Lord was coming back tomorrow? Would you take steps in the 24 hours left to live your life differently? What would you do to prepare? Maybe you would read your Bible more during that time. Maybe you'd spend extra time in prayer. Maybe you'd make sure if it was Sunday as the day before, you would be in church and that you would come both times. Maybe you would finally take seriously trying to rid yourself of that habitual sin that you know you shouldn't be involved with. What is it that you would do if you knew that the Lord was coming back tomorrow? In recent years, two predictions of a radio preacher, Harold Camping, have given us some indication of how some Christians would respond if they knew the day of the Lord's coming. When Camping predicted that Jesus would come in September 1994 the first time, a young man that I knew here in Oak Harbor took it so seriously, he went out on the last days of September and sat out on Mount Erie, hoping he could see the Lord descending from heaven. When Camping later changed his prediction to May 21, 2011, a good number of his followers had prepared by selling all their possessions, giving a great sum of money to his ministry to proclaim the nearness of Christ's coming throughout the world, many quitting their jobs and devoting themselves to this cause. Is that really what Jesus wants us to do if we thought we knew the date of his coming, or even if we knew he was coming tomorrow? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus in this parable speaks to us about these things. And you notice that the parable is divided into two parts, with Peter's question sandwiched right in the middle. Peter's question is, Lord, are you telling us this parable for us or for us all? And in the first part of the instructions, the Lord is speaking to a crowd in general, and he's calling them to be watchful for the day of his return. And in the second part of the parable, Jesus is speaking specifically to the disciples and to his church concerning what it means and what they should do to be ready for his coming. Let's begin first of all with his words to the crowd. Jesus begins in verse 38 and or 35 and 36 speaking of what it means in terms of being watchful. And he tells them in verse 35, stay dressed for action. Now, many of you have in a footnote underneath that the words, as it states in its literal interpretation from the Greek, let your loins stay girded. What does it mean, let your loins stay girded? Not words that we would use today normally. Well, as the translators have translated it, stay dressed for action. What Jesus is indicating here in these words is something that they knew way back in the days of the Exodus. You see in the footnote in my Bible that it speaks of Exodus 12, verse 11, where God had told the Israelites to loin, as it says, their gird, or let their loins be girded. What does he mean? It means that their cloaks, their dress, would be girded up, that they would be prepared at any time during the time before their deliverance from Egypt to be ready to go on their journey as the day of God's deliverance is at hand. What Jesus is telling his crowd, the church, he's telling them, look, you have to be ready and prepared for action at any time. Prepared for that day of the Lord, the day that the Lord will return to earth, dressed and ready to go at all times of your life. He goes on to say, and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so they may open the door to him at once when he comes and when he knocks. Keep your lamps burning. What is Jesus saying? As he goes on in that verse that follows, he's describing an event that would take place as if, say, a master was coming home from a wedding feast. And in preparation for the master to come home, you know that he's coming, you leave the lamp burning so that when he comes, he has light. So that it indicates when you have that lamp burning that you know he's coming home and that he's going to be ready and could come home at any particular time. Think of how if you have your spouse or if children, your mom and dad are gone for the night and you know they're coming home, they're returning home from the event that they've gone to for that evening, and what do? You don't shut all the lights off and go to bed as if they're not coming home. But you know that they're going to come home eventually. So you leave the light on for them. You leave it on because you are expecting them to come home and you want them to come home not to a dark house, but to a house that is lit, that is welcoming, that is showing that you're ready and prepared for their return. Jesus now speaks to his church in this way. He speaks to them by saying, stay dressed for action, be ready at any time because you don't know when it'll happen, when the Lord will come. and keep your lamp burning. That is, that you would always demonstrate that you are waiting for His coming and for His return. That you would know He could return at any time. And by leaving the lamp on, what are you indicating? Look at the last part of verse 36. So that they may open the door to Him at once when He comes and knocks. Now we know that any illustration that we give always falls short. Because when you leave the light on for your parents or for your spouse to come home late, you don't go to bed, as Jesus says, and just think, well, they'll come home and they'll shut the light off when they get home. Jesus tells us here to keep the lamp burning. Why? So that when the Lord comes, on that day He returns to earth, you are there to welcome Him, you see. That you may open the door to Him at once when He comes and when He knocks. It's not as if you've gone to bed and you know He's coming, so you're leaving the light on for Him, but eventually when He comes, He'll just let Himself in. No. What this is describing is the fact that day to day, you know that the Lord could come. You leave your lamp burning because you want to be prepared and welcoming Him as if you are expecting Him when He comes. It shouldn't be as a surprise to you. You know the Lord is coming. You know the day is near. At any time He could come. And so as a servant of Christ, as a believer in Christ, that He is going to come, you are ready, you are watching, and you are waiting so that you can welcome Him when He comes. But now as our Lord goes on in this parable, you notice there is a certain repetition in the verses that follow. He states in verse 37, "Blessed are those servants." Then if you drop to the end of verse 38, you notice the repetition. Blessed are those servants. So there's a repetition, a beginning where Jesus states, blessed are those servants. At the end where Jesus states, blessed are those servants. And Jesus wants you to know that those servants who have been watching and waiting, blessed are they. Those who, when the Lord comes, are not surprised, but welcome Him because they are so in tune with Him and His coming in their life. And why are they blessed? Why the repetition? Why does Jesus say it twice? Well, notice what He tells us in between the repetition. In verse 37, He states, "Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake when He comes. Truly I say to you, He will dress Himself for service and have them recline at table, and He will come and serve them." Now, we know that in the previous verses, Jesus has called them servants. Verse 37, "Blessed are those servants." We know that as believers in Christ, we are servants of Christ. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Savior. But do you see what Jesus is telling us in these verses in between? We know that right now we are servants of Christ. But when the Lord returns, He tells us in these verses that there is going to be a role reversal. Why are those servants who have been watching and waiting, why are they blessed? Because the Son of God is going to serve you. Look what He tells us. "Blessed are they whom the Master finds awake when He comes. Truly I say to you," with emphasis, "truly I say to you," what is going to happen? Why are they blessed? Because the Son of God will dress Himself for service and have them recline at table, and He will come and serve them. He will serve His people His grace. He will serve his people, his perfect righteousness. They will be glorified. They will be blessed with eternal life. They will recline at the table, his table, the wedding feast of the Lamb, where he will feed them his grace and the blessing of his supper. You see, what we see in these verses is a reversal of roles. We understand, as Jesus is describing the watching and the waiting in this parable, that when he comes, it's not as if he'll come and then we'll continue to serve him or serve him even more. Instead, what Jesus is telling us in this parable is that when he comes, the Son of God, who has saved us as sinners, will serve us as those whom he has saved. And Jesus tells us twice, you see, blessed are those servants. Blessed are those servants who have been given abundant grace, who have been given his perfect righteousness, who have been glorified, who will be eternally in heaven with him and in his presence and in the presence of God forevermore. God will bring about this through the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes forevermore. Blessed are those servants. But when will it come? Verse 38, if he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Now, some of you serve on the military, even in boats perhaps. And yesterday at prayer meeting, one of our military men was saying, well, we know all about that on the boat, because you have the first watch, the second watch, the third watch that goes on throughout the night. Always you are prepared in case it comes at any time. And what Jesus is reminding us of here is the different watches that are going to take place. If he doesn't come in the first watch, don't get impatient and think he's not going to come, because he might come in the second. And if he doesn't come in the second, don't get impatient or give up on the idea he'll come, because he might come on the third watch. We don't know when the Lord is coming. And in the context of this parable, Jesus has reminded us in the previous verses of things that can get in the way of our focus. We start to think, well, we want the Lord to come now. We've come to believe in Christ as our Savior. But then what gets in the way? In the parable of the rich fool, it was his wealth, the things of this earth that he sought to obtain. That became his focus instead of the Lord's coming, until God enters the picture at the end of the parable and confronts him in terms of how he has lived his life. We saw in the verses that followed that parable of the rich fool how people can allow other things to get in the way. Anxiety in terms of what they will wear, what they will eat, taking care of their body, the things of this life that they come preoccupied with that can distract them from focusing on the Lord's coming and being ready on that day in which he returns. And so Jesus tells the church, he tells the crowd in the verses that follow, well, if he comes in the second, if he comes in the third, don't give up, because our Lord is coming. He will come, and be prepared for that day in which he comes. But when is that day? When is the day that the Lord is coming? Throughout history, we have had so many people try to predict that day. I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon about recent attempts by even people who claim to be in the Reformed faith that have so predicted days, whether it's 1994 or whether it's a particular time, May 21, 2011, that the Lord is going to come back on that day. Is that something we should be doing? Well, look how Jesus concludes his parable in verse 39. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not left his house to be broken into. Now, some have said, well, how does this imagery of a thief fit in with what Jesus has said before? We've just read in the previous verses about being ready for the Lord, about His glorious grace, about the Son of God who will now serve His people on that day He comes back. And now the image is negative of a thief. But you see, our Lord is using this image of the thief to help us understand the impossibility of predicting the time that He's coming. Now, we know that the master of the house has been warned that a thief is going to come. He knows that the day is coming, he's been told, that a thief is going to come to your house. But what he doesn't know is at what hour that thief is coming. And so the master of the house, though he knows the truth that the thief is coming, he is left in a state of preparedness because he isn't for sure certain the time, the exact time that that thief is coming. You see how Jesus is using this imagery to help us understand the impossibility to predict the day of his return. He has told us in the previous verses that we need to be watching and waiting and to be preparing for the day that he will come because we know and it is certain that he is going to come. But if we knew what hour he was coming, well, then we wouldn't have to prepare, right? If we knew what hour, what specific time, maybe we would prepare in the wrong ways. The owner of the house does not know what hour the thief is coming. If he had, he wouldn't have left his house alone. But what does Jesus say in verse 40? You also must be ready. That's the summary verse. You also must be ready. Why? For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You can't plan it. You can't predict it. You can't say, well, if the Lord comes back tomorrow, well, okay, then I know what I'm going to do to get ready because I can plan on the hour and get all ready to go. It's not like that, you see. In this parable, what Jesus has reminded us of is this, that we have to always be watching. We have to always be waiting, always keeping our lamp lit. Know of the great glory of the salvation that will come upon us. Blessed are His servants who have been watching and waiting and know that it's true He's coming. But as far as the time, as far as the predicting when, that is something that has not been revealed to us. And so we are to live in such a way that we are always watching and waiting, knowing it could come at any time. I always remember that time when that book, 1994, came out. We had students in my seminary days at that time who were very much into it. One student spent the summer translating it into another language because he wanted the people of his home country to know and understand this prediction of Jesus coming in September of 1994 by this so-called radio minister. We also saw people who took it so literally that they were leaving their churches and doing all kinds of things because they were focused on this day of the Lord's return. But a pastor said to me, well, you know, I'm not going to wait until September 1994 to be ready. It's 1993, and the Lord could come tomorrow. He could come in an hour. He could come at any time. And I need to be ready for His coming always and not wait for a year. You see, that's what Jesus is telling us in this parable, that we need to always be ready. If we had a particular time that we thought, well, He'll probably come about this time, we would live different and think different and have our focus on the wrong place and the wrong things. Our focus must be that we are always in union with our Savior. That when He comes, it's not a surprise because we're expecting Him. That we are welcoming Him. That we know that when He comes, we are prepared for the time we will be saved and brought into eternity with Him. But now you see, Peter asks his question. They've heard the first part of this parable. Jesus has spoken it to a crowd. And Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? Are you just speaking to the church or to the disciples? Or are you speaking to all, for all to see? And as Jesus has spoken the first part of this parable, it certainly is a message for all to think of. That all the people who live in this world should know that the Lord is coming and should know that as He will come, they should be watching and waiting and thinking of the day of His return. But now as we go to the second part of this text, and as Peter has asked his question, Jesus is now bringing a message to His disciples and to His church. In the first part of the parable, Jesus has spoken about what it means to be watchful. What it means to be waiting. But now that you know He's coming and you need to be watchful and waiting, what would you do to be ready? We mentioned at the beginning of the sermon that some people who think, well, if the Lord is coming tomorrow, what would I do? Well, I would pray more. I would read my Bible more. I would make sure I was in church twice the Sunday before. I would do all these kinds of things for myself to show that I was ready and that I was really focused. But if you don't know the time or the date, what do you do to show that you're ready? Well, Jesus tells us. In these verses, verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? You see, as Jesus is speaking now of the knowledge of His coming that is given to the church, that is given to the disciples, to all believers who know Him, they are now faithful and wise managers of this knowledge. They know that Christ is coming. They know He will return. And He has set them over His household to give them what? Their portion of food at the proper time. Now here comes food again. We saw food imagery used in Jesus' parable in the verses above. As Jesus speaks to them about the day of His coming and what it means for His coming, you see there in verse 37, Jesus says, truly I say to you, He will dress Himself for service and have them recline at the table. On the day the Lord returns, that means that the Lord is going to serve you. You will recline at His table. You will be blessed with the overwhelming grace and His righteousness, and you will be glorified and experience eternal life. And as you know that that's going to happen, how do you ready yourself for His return? You put the focus on you? Well, I need to get serious about my prayers and my Bible reading, and certainly all those things are good. But look what Jesus is saying. The faithful and wise manager, what will they do? Before He comes, you see, they will do what He will do when He comes. When He comes, we'll recline at the table and He will serve His people, His faithful servants. And now, for His coming, the faithful and wise manager that the master has set over the household will do what? They will give a portion of the food, a portion of what will be poured out to you in fullness on the day of His coming. You will give and should give to His church and to people that need to know Him and the salvation. Look how he goes on in verse 43. Blessed is that servant. You've seen that before, haven't you? Two times we saw it. Verse 37, blessed are those servants. The end of verse 38, blessed are those servants. Now Jesus brings it back in again. Blessed is that servant who does what? Whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Blessed is the servant, you see, who does the things that he will do when he comes. And now, because you, as a believer in Christ, are in union with Him, are in so in tune with His coming and His return, your focus now is doing what He does. That is, you are sharing His grace in your life with others, that you know that His righteousness is yours, that you want others to know about that righteousness, that the glorification that you will experience in heaven and you experience in part here in this earth, you would share so that others as well would know it and experience His glorified. Blessed is that servant, Jesus said, whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Because that demonstrates, you see, that you're ready. It demonstrates that you're ready for the day of his return, because that's what you're going to do on the day of his return. That you, as a believer in Christ, that you as a parent, that you as someone who knows the knowledge of the return of the Lord, would share that knowledge, would live that knowledge with the people around you so that they could learn it and be blessed along with you. Look how he again comes back to the truly in verse 44. We saw that in verse 37 in the middle. Truly I say to you, as if the Lord now is saying something important, as if he is giving emphasis to what he is to say. Verse 44, truly I say to you, God, he will set him over all his possessions. The focus, you see, is not yourself, not your own preparedness. Thinking about the day of the Lord and His return, the focus isn't to say, well, I need to get ready myself and put the focus on me. Certainly, if you want to pray more, that isn't bad. If you want to read your Bible more, that isn't bad. But that's not where you limit your focus. Your focus, you see, is to know that and to do those things, but for the benefit of our Lord's church. For the benefit of the people he has put under your care. That you would be faithful to those who need to know Christ, as Christ will be faithful to you on the day he returns. He goes on in the next verse to present the contrast. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and on an hour that he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. You see, our Lord is giving a warning here. That if you are not focused on serving Christ and His church, and your focus is on you, that the servants of Christ now are forced to serve you, and you'll beat them if they don't, that the servants of Christ are now not focused on Christ's food and drink and eternal life, but focused on providing your own body with eat and drink and getting drunk, and does what pleases him and not the Lord, our Lord warns that he will be cut in pieces and put with the unfaithful and not ready for his return. Why is that person not ready? Because their focus is not on Christ. because their focus is on themselves and what they want other people to do for them. And in the preceding verses, our Lord has made it clear. He's told us what He will do for His people when He comes, and He's told us what His people will do for those around them, for His servants around them, until He comes. And by living that way, making that the focus of your life in terms of serving God and serving our Savior, you demonstrate, you see, the readiness, the watchfulness that He could come at any time. In the verses that follow, our Savior goes on by way of emphasis. Verse 47, the servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand more. As our Lord ends this parable, He speaks specifically about the amount that is given. Everyone to whom has been given much, much will be required. The more knowledge you have of the Lord and His coming, the more knowledge you have of what the Lord will do for you when you go to heaven someday or when He comes for you, the more accountability the Lord has for your service unto Him. And as He concludes, He speaks there in terms of what it means for those who have given much. For everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from him whom they entrusted much, they will demand much more. And so we come back this morning to the question that we began this sermon. What would you do if you knew that the Lord was coming back tomorrow? Would you increase your prayer life? Would you read your Bible more? Would you make sure you were in church and morning and evening and show that you truly were focused on Him? Jesus tells us in this parable, it is impossible to predict the day of His return. But what you are called to do each and every day is to live your life as if you are watchful and if you're waiting as if He could come at any moment. And to know that when He comes, you will be blessed because our Savior will serve you. And as you wait for His return, you can show that you're ready by demonstrating your union with Christ even now. By living your life, serving His church and His people, doing for others what Christ will someday do in all eternity for you. That, you see, shows that you're ready. Ready to meet Him, ready to be with Him. When we think of the Lord's coming, we so much want to put the focus on us. But He tells us in these verses that as the faithful manager and steward of the things of God that He has revealed to us by His Holy Spirit, we must put the focus on Him and on His church. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice in this parable, which reminds us of how imminent the day of your return is. Lord, so many in history have tried to predict that day. So many instructions have been given throughout history about what people must do to prepare for that day of which some have predicted is so certain. But Lord, You have reminded us this morning in this parable that we cannot know that day, and that each day we must be watchful and waiting, knowing that You could come at any moment. Lord, we are humbled to know that you will serve us on that day, that your grace, that your salvation will be poured out to us in all abundance. Lord, help us even now to demonstrate our readiness by showing that love and grace to others. Enable us, Lord, to live it so that people around us may know that we belong to you, so that you may see our hearts, our lives are not focused on ourselves, but on you and our Lord's coming and his wonderful grace. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing together of that day of the Lord's return with the singing of hymn number 320, Rejoice, All Ye Believers. Let us stand together and sing all the stanzas of number 320. The benediction of our God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.